Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Thank you once again for joining us. Worldly visions, past visions, Atlantis, Lemuria, ancient technology, spiritual sciences. Well, it's the critically acclaimed Legacy episode series by Robert Maxim. 5 episodes called a must-read for every truth-seeker. The author's real visions of previous lifetimes in Atlantis, Lemuria, and other worlds where these lives took place. The series, 30 Years in the Making, features advanced scientific and spiritual concepts with evidence. For Robert, these experiences began as a child with sleep-time visits to other worlds. They continue in both wake and sleep state. He spent 40 years studying science, religion, and the science of life, works in the field of information technology. The author of the Legacy episode series, back with us on This Week in America, Robert Maxim. Robert, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, this is going to be fun today. We've got many more questions, some carryovers, a couple new ones from the last time that I want to get to. If you have a question, go to Robert's website, rgaten.com. You go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and submit them. And we've got some good ones, starting off with this one. To the best of my knowledge, I've never had visions, but I do believe in past lives and would like to pursue. Is hypnosis a way to explore my past lives?
Oh, you know, I would proceed with caution, and that includes getting personal past life readings. You never know what doors you're opening up and what is going to influence you beyond that door. I think it's always best not to trust anyone, not even me, and be alert at all times rather than being sedated or being taken out. Learn about your thoughts and emotions, and that will lead you to get your own answers at the right moment and order, but not prior. You can do it, but you must first study the science. And forcing to get a past life reading can bring adverse results because we might be tapping into the wrong source. Also, one must know what to do with past life knowledge. Reason that knowing the self is pivotal in this case. So, yeah, be careful. Don't open yourself to anyone in particular who is trying to help or go looking for information before it's time. You must be alert. You must be analyzing yourself. You put yourself under like that, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, that's interesting because what you say could happen is someone, just basically a stranger we find, we go to, they give us this information, your time's up, you leave the office, the next person comes in, and you're armed with all this information, and you really don't know how to use it, right?
Yeah, and how do you know it's true?
Well, you don't know if it's true, and if it is true, it could have life-altering impact. So in that case, and then we'll move on to the next one, but in that case, you're saying be very, very careful with hypnosis. What is the best thing for them to do? Maybe be more alert? Is it possible they're having visions and they just don't realize it?
That is true. That was my case, too. I had to make a lot of, a lot of soul-searching. To find out how to undo this mess of thoughts that I had. You really can't go after looking after past lives if you don't really know yourself. Once you can sort out your thoughts and get some clarity, then you can get into the field of analyzing past lives. There are a lot of personal reasons why many times we try to lie to ourselves. In those incidents, imagine living with a wrong idea of what you were. Let's say that you decide you were, some individual in the past, and you go through life believing in that, and it's not really true. So if you had your clarity, you had your thoughts sorted out, and you had the tools to really evaluate where these feelings are coming from and what lifetime they came from, then you're a step ahead. And rather than confusing and lying to yourself, you're being truthful.
You know, it's interesting because basically you're saying this is serious stuff. This is not a parlor game, so proceed with caution. Our guest on the program is Robert Maxim, M-A-X-X-I-M. The website is rgaetan, G-A-E-T-A-N.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and find a lot of great information there. Also, the website, unariusunited.com. Another call from a listener, another email from a listener. What is the role of past negative experiences on our present lives? Interesting question.
Oh, yeah. I'd say just about everything.
Okay.
But I'm going to go ahead and steal a line from Star Wars by saying that it brings balance to the Force.
Okay.
It helps us identify energy by comparing experiences. And from that, we learn to respect the evolutionary concepts and stages of others by your doing, you know, about others. You know? Since we conceive right and wrong differently, positive and negative deeds are personal points of reference. The problem is, some individuals think that negative experiences are not needed because they're a product of misfortune, sin, the devil, temptation. In other words, they think it's bad for you. And so they want to keep it away. Not so. They are learning steps. Tell a child to be, not to be negative, for example. He might not understand what to do then, but he will in the years to come. If we can't have negativism, then imagine getting rid of kids meeting us, right?
Exactly, exactly.
So negative experiences are part of what we are. We can't get rid of them. We have to learn to polarize them. Life's challenge is to incarnate, bring higher knowledge down to this consciousness level and evolve it upwards. Changing negative experiences into positive ones. That's how you change energy and how we could say evolution roles. So you have the negative, you overcome it, turn it into a positive, and keep moving.
You know, in the confines of a half an hour program and time out of that for commercials, we can't really, we really touch the surface of many of these questions. And I sometimes ask a follow-up or two because there's so much more to talk about. We need to keep the program moving to get through as many questions as possible. But for a further explanation of what Robert's talking about, again, the website is rgaetan.com. Excellent information there, backed up with evidence, or unariusunited.com. Or you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you get a link on. Also, past programs, chances are we've touched on some of these topics before. You can find those by going to YouTube and to iTunes. This is, that came after the last program we did. Just listened to your interview and had to comment. I have dreams all the time, and that's all they are. No visions or messages, just dreams. I think it's wrong to encourage people to interpret their dreams as something more. Wow. Okay, Robert, I'm going to toss that off to you via Skype, and you go ahead and you handle that. This guy is dreaming, and they're nothing more than dreams.
Was that a shot across the bow?
Yep, I believe it was.
Everything is fair.
Polite, but it was a shot across the bow.
I understand precisely where the listener is coming from, and I appreciate his concerning question, because this is really not an uncommon concern, and I'm glad that we can spend some time on this. Now, unlike what many individuals think, psychologists do recommend keeping a journal to document, analyze, and interpret dreams. People are not told how to do mental hygiene, unfortunately, and thus are subject to countless mental blocks, and therein a lot of random chaos. So a lot of dreams are very random, very chaotic, and that's one of the reasons why. Other individuals, before they go to sleep, they try to auto-suggest or delude themselves so that they can nail the right dream that they want.
Yes.
You know, and as I said before, clarity is best achieved by learning the science of life, analyzing the self, knowing yourself, and letting the higher self guide you. Now, let's ask this question. are dreams, not thoughts.
Interesting.
They are. So don't we have thoughts during the day also? So what's the difference between day and sleep? There's really no difference. You have to analyze both because both come from experiences, past and, believe it or not, future. And this is why psychologists recommend looking at dreams just as you look after your daily experiences. Now, if you deny that dreams come from the past or represent visions, as I once thought, then you can't clearly objectify your own mental state. Look at the work the psychiatrist, Ian Stevenson. Ian Stevenson. He did on reincarnation. Read up on the compelling evidence that he gathered. We've been kept in the dark about many things for ages, including dreams. There's been a lot of mocking, rebuking, hiding evidence. It's a mess. So resistance is to be expected. And people are programmed to be abnormal by nature. Because it's good for business, it's good for crowd control, and it's in demand. Now, let's look at some famous dreams and visions. They're very well documented and proven. You've probably heard of them. Let's bring up the names of Nostradamus. How about Edgar Cayce, Dr. Ernest Norman? How about prophets, those that are biblically inclined? So counter-opinion stacks up really poorly against volumes and volumes of evidence, a lot of it which is detail and legacy. Now, tons of dreams over time have provided facts that were never before known, right down to names, places, events, and features, and they were confirmed. When these facts come, especially from young, small children halfway across the world, facts that were never revealed before, doesn't credibility rise? At our evolutionary level, dreams result from our daily interaction. They do influence our dreams. But interactions are also born from past life actions. So there you have it. It's a domino effect. Now, I usually don't like to talk about some of the experiences that I've gone through, but I'll mention a few here. Some individuals remember back, August of 1987, Northwest Flight 255, Chicago, Illinois. That was a disastrous crash. I saw it in a vision 2 weeks before it happened. I called Northwest Airlines to warn them of this accident. I almost saw it to the day. And, of course, I was scuffed. I was treated kind of indecently and hung up on it. 2 weeks later, you know what happened. In November of the same year, Continental Flight 1713, same thing. I saw it 2 weeks before it happened, called, nobody paid attention. Now, a recent one, Benedict 16. Again, I saw his name, I saw his Catholic label 2 weeks before he was called Benedict 16. I even saw a recent layoff that I was part of. And in this case, I actually discussed what was going to happen with workmates. And I told them, you know, there's only going to be one person that's going to be laid off in this team. It's going to be me. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen in 2 weeks, and this is what's going to happen. This person is going to come, is going to do this, this is going to say this, this HR person is going to be involved. And I have witnesses. I have HR witnesses. I have witnesses from my department that I did make these claims and were confirmed.
It's fascinating, and I just want to go back, and I sort of interrupt her, but as you're talking and you call several airlines telling them, I foresee disaster, they, of course, don't pay any attention to you. Is it possible that you could have prevented disaster?
I like to think that perhaps the fact that I was ignored was part of what was going to happen. You never know. After those experiences, I learned I should not get involved. I should not. There are times when you feel compelled, truly compelled to do something, but others, you're compelling yourself because of a past negative action. So I was young. I didn't really know what I was doing. And what I do. So really, proof is not brought to boil over a Bunsen burner, but truly by investigative spiritual correlation and knowing the self. That is true clarity.
You know, that question comes from skepticism. And I think it's interesting to note that we've talked about so many times before, when you entered this realm, when you started studying this, when you started getting what you thought were visions, you were skeptical as well. So where that person is where you were at one time, correct?
That is correct. And one of the problems I had, Rick, is I didn't know what I was looking at. And there were a lot of negative past thoughts that were getting in the middle. And I did not have clarity. I actually needed help to sort this out and begin to cut the layers of negativity and the mental block that I had put upon myself. Everybody in this world goes through that. Everybody is trained to naturally block themselves. And like I said, it's good for business. So getting out of that rut is difficult. But let's not foolishly rush and say, okay, I can do it. I can be involved in past life readings and I can do this, I can do that. Stop, slow down, learn the science, learn about yourself. Don't rush in. Rushing in is bad.
And I mentioned in the beginning, you spent 40 years looking into this. And as we talk, I get the impression you are still learning. You are still a student. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, M-A-X-X-I-M. I talk by going to his website, argaten.com, or go to Unarius United, get more information. Read the book, because the book series it's got all the elements that make it a best-selling series. But all of that is based on fact. So you will get a lot of answers to many of the questions we talk about just by reading the Legacy series. I hate to do this. We've got about 5 minutes left in the program. This is a rather complicated question. I'm going to ask this. We may have to carry it over part two, but let me go in with this because this is important and touches upon something we mentioned before. In counseling, I mentioned that I believed I was able to recall past lives. My therapist was upset and said there are dangers in that New Age thinking. He called it hocus pocus and said false memories can be devastating and increase suffering. Should I seek a new therapist? What should they do in that case? Because they really want to find out about their past lives. But the therapist is saying some things that you were mentioning before, that in the wrong hands, this actually could be dangerous.
You know, I think that the therapist is about 75% correct. And this is really an awesome question. At least this listener is questioning, and it's great to question. So please tell the therapist that he is 75% correct. Now, I studied psychology, and one of my sons is actually in the Army, and he is a psychologist for the Army. So I talk to him about these things all the time, and I know the constraints that they have to work under. They've sworn to follow specific processes and only contain their profession to specific considerations. So even if they believe in past lives, they can't make it part of their profession. And I truly respect that. Now, imagine a dentist operating out of a grease monkey car fixer upper shop. That would not be a pretty sight.
Exactly.
So compare a psychologist or a therapist actually doing past life readings. It doesn't really jive. And besides, you don't want anybody giving you past life readings. You want to do it, figure it out yourself. So we must also make sure self-knowing is solid and past lives are viewed as lessons only rather than identity hunts. We don't want that. Now, that's good psychology, but to clarify, past lives are not, they are not a New Age thing. That's the 25% that's wrong.
Yeah, that and the hocus pocus, I assume you would put that in with the New Age thinking slash hocus pocus, and you would say that was incorrect. But you're giving some praise there to the therapist for understanding this is not an area where he's going to go. For whatever reason, he's not going to go there. In the couple minutes we have left, if you're the individual who emailed in that question, they really would like to get some answers. Is it possible to find a counselor, a therapist, who can do past life discussion? And again, we touched on that in that first question. Is that an area you want to pursue, or one you're better off doing on your own?
You know, when I went down this path, I was on the mindset of, I want to find out who I was in a past life. I'm going to go get a reading from somebody. Soon enough, I realized that's not what's important. What's important is to know myself, because the thoughts I'm having are thoughts that are being influenced by past lives. So if you know those thoughts, you automatically know who you were, what you were. And in time, you're going to start getting flashes of these past lives. So, yeah, I would recommend that you do it yourself and that you don't go to anyone for any reasons. I sure don't. And I know a lot of individuals that on the spot could give me one. But I always prefer, let me do it myself. If I don't see it, it's because there's something I don't understand about myself. So that's the priority right there. Know yourself, know your thoughts. And once you clean up house there, then the next step would be clarity on past lives.
So basically, it comes down to personal awareness. You've mentioned awareness a number of times during the course of these questions. It comes down to personal awareness, right? Rather than going out to an individual, knocking on a door, talking to a total stranger, and having him tell you about your past lives.
Yeah, and I guess with your permission, I would like to give an example here.
Sure.
I have a friend called Rick Bratton. And I know that I have collaborated with Mr. Bratton in the past, and I have recently seen my association with Mr. Bratton. However, I refuse to tell him what I have seen unless he provides the right aptitude and the right search, the right knowledge, so that I can provide that information.
Now, that's interesting. We've had some discussions before and several things that in past that are like, wow, coincidences. You begin to wonder if it's really a coincidence or not. And we will pursue that, and I will work on my aptitude between now and the next time we talk. Boy, the time goes by so quickly, and I hope you did justice to those questions. We've got a bunch more. And we would encourage your question as well. Go to the website, thisweekinamerica.us, and submit the question. You can do it at Robert's website, rgaetan, that's rgaetan.com. Information available there on the Legacy Series that will answer a lot of your questions. Do it in story form, and a gripping story it is. That's the Legacy Series. Another website to go to is unariusunited.com. Robert, it is always a pleasure. We encourage the questions. We got many, many more to get to next time. Thank you for being with us once again.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're coming back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.